By being open source, and anybody can build it anywhere with components they can buy from Amazon or Alibaba, you can all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going to make it this way for myself because that's what I need. Like, great, do it.
Hashrate Up. Hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with Hashrate Up.
All right, Eric, you're back again. It's not been that long.
I think the last one
we did was in August, but you keep announcing cool stuff. So what can I do? I asked your colleagues and they come up with excuses.
So you're stuck with me again, is what you're saying?
It's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. You just announced, say it yourself.
Juwakali
Miner. What is it, a miner? Would you say it's a miner?
Yeah, it's a miner. It's really like, how do you make old hash fours run off of 12 volts from solar?
And a problem that I'm often faced with.
Yeah.
And it now seems we have a decent, attainable solution, which I absolutely love. It's really when the conference started for me.
A day and a half in.
Yeah, exactly. It got me all energized and fired up. So thank you guys for doing that. I want to explain about the basics a bit about Juwakali, how it came about, what the idea is. You explained it based on a model in Zambia.
On an experience in Zambia, yeah.
So explain from the get-go, like, how did you come up with this idea? Why did it come about? What's the problem you were trying to solve?
Yeah, so, I mean, like you, we get approached by a lot of people who have solar, and they're saying, hey, can you do Bitcoin mining on my excess solar? And in the case of Zambia, we had just started as a company. We were fairly young. Some guys in Zambia had heard about us, and they're like 84 farmers and had put in these solar-powered grain mills, and they had excess solar.
Yep.
They had put in 15 kilowatts of solar. And they're like, can you come put miners on it? I'm like, that'd be like 1, 2, 3 miners per site. At 84 rural locations across Zambia, there's no way to manage that. That's scattered across the whole country. There's no way we could do that. Mm-hmm. But that was like a niggling problem for me for the next 2 years, thinking about it. It's like, there has to be a way that we wouldn't do it, right? But that they could do it themselves, right? And so Juwakali really came from this idea. It's like, hey, there's actually blue-collar guys like these farmers all over the world. They might have farms or ranches, but they also might have a small metal workshop. They might have a cooling station. There's any number of things that they have, solar, maybe even wind for. It doesn't matter. It's like whatever can charge a 12-volt battery, right?
Yeah.
And then and it was like the realization was like, what if we just tricked the solar into thinking it was filling another battery, but it was just running a miner, right? Or just running hash boards. And so Juwakali was just us saying, okay, let's take away the power supply. Let's take away all these other things. And let's just tell the control board to run these hash boards when it senses that there's excess solar, but the battery's already full.
Yeah.
That's it.
In this video, for explaining how it technically works, I'm interviewing somebody from your team, or he's going through the different parts of the machine. But as you said, the problem for this is so big, you know, and we're now basically... we have an approach where anybody can build this because you've fully open sourced this,
mm-hmm.
right? So you just similar to the BitX, right? You want everybody to be able to build it for themselves.
Right.
Here's a list of parts, order it yourself, build it yourself.
Correct.
And then people can innovate around it,
yeah.
right?
And we've done it, just to be clear at the beginning, we use What's Miners at Gridless.
Yeah.
So we've designed this around the hash boards that we have,
yeah.
which are the What's Miner M30Ss.
Yeah.
And so there's other people, we're hoping, that will come and commit code now to using this for Bitmain S19 XPs or J Pros or whatever, as other yeah. S9s even,
yes.
right? To be very, very clear, like, everybody should understand that this is using the hash boards, not using the whole miner.
Yes.
And so the idea is that you can hack together one of yours that could take 2 hash boards or 20 hash boards. That's up to you and the amount of excess solar or excess energy that you have.
Mm.
And so it really is something that I think can fit a bunch of different scenarios globally that hasn't existed before.
Yes, it's a base from which we can innovate.
Well, why it's important is this. It's like that word scattered that I use to explain Zambia is decentralization by another word, okay? We need decentralization in the Bitcoin network. And, you know, so there's other people who are working on like the personal small little ones with like BitAx, right? And there's big miners who are on the other end of the spectrum. And there's us small miners in the middle. But there's actually a whole subset of people that should be miners,
yep.
right? Mining is just an enabler for them, though.
Yep.
They actually are farmers. They run a small industry of some sort. That's the exciting bit. Like, that's the piece
yeah.
that has been missing, because now you can have hundreds of thousands of these across any given continent.
And it's not just technological innovation, it's also business model innovation, right? Now this, the solar installer in Zambia can say, look, we can pair this with a battery, but if you spend an extra X, we can pair this with a infinite battery or something that batteries. I don't like the word battery
for
mining because you can't transfer it back. Right?
No, what we call it is a money battery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that makes more sense because the solar doesn't know what it's doing. It's just saying, oh, all these batteries are full. Let me just run this other battery. I'm gonna store my money I'm gonna store my energy in that battery.
Yeah.
And it's just making money the whole time.
BitX, solomining.de. Got it. Premium made in Germany. You want to go fancy? Go for NerdX or NerdQX++ for a lot of power. Worldwide shipping. Check out solomining.de today.
Talk to me about the economics, right? You mm-hmm. had some numbers on the screen.
Yeah, so I threw it back to the 15 kilowatt Zambian farmer site, right? That's running a grain mill. And I said, okay, that's the site. Let's say they have 6 hours a day of spare energy that's going to waste right now. They're not grain milling, they're not filling batteries, right? So six hours a day, 15 kilowatts, you're gonna run about $1,500 to build the system, right? At least with what we do today. I think that number will become drastically lower as soon as Bitmain machines are being used for Joukali, because the control boards are the most expensive part right now.
Yeah.
And a control board for Bitmain, there's some of them that you can run 10 hashboards off of or
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with WhatsMiner, we're stuck just with three. And so we use the Epic control board. It's awesome. It's a really great control board. We love it, but it is limited to three hashboards. So it increases the cost. So for $1,500, you can get set up for 15 kilowatts. And we estimate you'll earn about $150 per month. So you have about a 10-month ROI. And that 10-month ROI is not, like, it's not bad, actually, right?
No.
And once you've got that paid back, now you're just earning Bitcoin where you would have wasted your energy before.
That piece is especially interesting to me. And when you guys had the workshop at the conference, by the way, this is Afro Bitcoin Conference in Mauritius. This is why the background looks like this. What came to me was, okay, like when you think about miner ROI, you are thinking, hey, I need to make my money back because I need to replace the whole machine when it breaks or when I need to replace it,
yeah.
right? So I cannot just, we're starting to see changes, and this is one of them, right? The proto miner is revolved around, you know, you can slide in and out hashboards, you don't have to replace them.
Also open source hardware and software.
Yeah, so this is similar, where you say, okay, even if it takes 12 months to reach ROI, the most expensive critical part is the control board, but that the chance of that breaking is very low, right? The chance of the hashboard breaking is very high,
yeah.
right? So, and again, if a hashboard breaks, you have to replace a lot more than just the hashboard in most cases. It gets really expensive. So you
yeah.
want to make your money back as fast as possible. Here, it doesn't really matter because we're working with stranded hashboards from anywhere in the world, right? They don't have
yeah.
Any economic lifespan anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, you and I both know there's warehouses
Yeah.
that are just stacked full of old last-gen miners
yeah.
that nobody's using, and those hashboards are worth nothing to most people.
And they work perfectly fine, and that's the key, right? Once that failure rate kicks in, and the ASICs break or whatever, the hashboards are not worth repairing, now you can replace that hashboard with another one.
That's right.
And we need to make sure there's a marketplace for those working old hashboards that are maybe then, I don't know, worth $5 if supply is high enough.
You know, I should be clear that I don't think that the farmers will build these yeah. themselves. I think that the guy that they spent, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 to set up the solar and battery storage at their farm will build it.
It's similar to the BidX. I didn't build my BidX from the ground up. I pieced it together, yes, but I didn't build the board itself.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't manufacture that. I screwed on the fan, right?
Yeah.
But same in this case, right? You don't want the solar farm. It's not their expertise, right?
No, and I think that the thing here to know too is like what we're doing with the with Juokali is saying, hey, we make our money off of Bitcoin mining as gridless. That's what we do.
Yeah.
It's better for all of us if there's more Bitcoin mining happening all over the world. Sure, decentralized, but also even within our own countries. Because, for example, if I'm Bitcoin mining in Zambia, right, and the government decides, oh, I'm going to shut that down, it's easy to do when there's one or two Bitcoin miners. If, on the other hand, there's 500 farmers who are using Bitcoin mining as an enabler for their actual business, there's going to be some problems if they try and institute that.
Yeah, they're more likely to say, no, we don't want that. But also, it's very difficult for, I mean, how are you going to stop 500 farmers in rural Zambia from plugging in a power cord?
So there's this, I'm going to look it up so I don't butcher it, so give me half a second.
Yeah, no worries.
But there's a great quote. So this great quote by Clay Shirky, which says, you know, communications tools don't get socially interesting until they get technologically boring.
Say that one more time.
Communications tools don't get socially interesting until they get technologically boring.
Okay.
So what is the most interesting tech? Well, it's the new stuff. It's AI or whatever, right? What is the most useful tech?
Internet?
Email.
Email,
right? Yep. Boring as hell. Nobody talks about email. Do you ever get excited and say, hey, you know what I did on email today? Right?
Set up an SMTP server.
So what I think we need to do is we need to make Bitcoin mining the boring tech that enables a lot of other businesses to be successful.
Yeah.
And then proliferate Bitcoin mining across all these things. It's like, yeah, guess what? Yeah, I have a little economic shock absorber at my solar 15 kilowatt solar site just so that I'm still making some money even if I'm not able to mill grain.
So at this point, we're presenting solutions. We're presenting a calculator that other people can pick up when they have used abacuses before. And be like, that guy is more efficient. I also want that.
Yeah, and it becomes attractive because the other thing that's happened, as you know, because you've been in solar, is that with the price drops in solar PV and battery storage over the last 2 years even, we're seeing even faster acceleration of solar across the continent.
Mm.
Not just big sites, I mean small sites, right?
Yeah.
And this is aimed at that kind of missing middle. It's not the like one or two kilowatt sites. It's not the 200 kilowatt sites.
Yeah.
It's the sites that are between like 5 and 100 kilowatts.
But you know what? Funnily enough, that's exactly, and I fought with that when I was previously employed with the solar company, right? The funding gap is the same. You get funding for big solar, you get funding for very small solar home systems. But for the solar in the middle, it's very difficult to get funding for.
Yeah.
And ironically, Juokali pretty much exactly solved the problem that got me into Bitcoin mining in the first place, like a couple of years ago. Because we had that issue, stranded solar power in a rural Malian village.
Yeah.
How do we monetize that?
Yeah, and it's a small amount of solar. How big were the solar mini grids?
45 kilowatt.
Right, exactly. This is exactly what it's made for, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and this is actually a global problem, though. We think about it in Africa because we're in Africa, right? But the rancher in Montana and the guy who's running a vineyard in Spain and the village in Colombia all have the same problem as the guy in Zambia that we built this around.
Yeah.
And I think what's great about that is that by being open source and anybody can build it anywhere with components they can buy from Amazon or Alibaba, you can all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going to make it this way for myself because that's what I need. You're like, great, do it.
Yeah,
and somebody else can do it slightly different in their country. Somebody will come with an idea for cooling that's a little bit easier and everybody else will copy that. It's like this kind of thing feeds on itself if there's enough people who get involved with playing with it. Right? And so our plan is saying, hey, listen, we'll get out there and get it started, but we need other people to carry the torch. Right? Because it's like we can't do all the Bitmain stuff because we don't use any Bitmain. Yeah. Like, that's never going to be us.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. There we go. Could sit here and talk to you for hours. Juokali just announced it. following this will be sort of detailed technological explainer from your colleague. Thank you so much for taking the time again.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Good to talk.
And I'll see you soon.
Cheers.
Buying Bitcoin miners should be simple, safe, and fast. Altair Technology delivers exactly that. Based in the US and shipping directly from St. Louis, Altair eliminates all the shady messaging groups, customs and tariffs issues, and makes sure Bitcoin miners get to you on time. Altair stocks leading commercial ASIC miners, efficient home units, and all the critical parts you need, backed by real inventory, real support, and a team of people that you can rely on and actually mines Bitcoin. Thank you so much, Altair Technology, for supporting the show. And without further ado, let's get back to it.
All right, cool. So Juokali Miner was just announced. This is it. And I'm going to have a brief explanation with one of the guys who developed it to better understand what it is that we are seeing. So I think let's start here and just open this bad boy up and see what's inside. What am I seeing? Please help me and the audience understand.
Going front to back, I guess, we have some current sensors, the control board for the actual hashboards themselves. We have an Arduino that's reading serial data from all of our sensors, voltage, and then that's all being communicated to a Raspberry Pi that's interpreting the data and then communicating with the control board, controlling the miner itself.
All right, and you guys are open sourcing this, right?
Yes, yeah.
Why do you open source this?
I was just told to build this. I don't know the reason behind why it's open source.
All right,
I
cool.
just was, yeah.
You were told to build, you built. That's awesome.
Yes.
I mean, it looks fantastic. Okay, cool. So now we have fans, intake over here,
or
is this the intake?
Intake from this side.
All right, intake that side. Outtake that side.
Yes.
What is an Arduino? Explain in more detail what an Arduino does.
It's just a self-programmable microcontroller with a bunch of analog pins so that you can, in this case, read analog serial data from current sensors and then analog data from, we built a little voltage divider to read voltage across the device.
All right, so let's follow the power. I think that's easiest.
Yes.
Right? So power comes in here.
Yes, from these two lugs, just like a standard 12-volt solar battery.
Okay.
There's two lines, one for each hashboard. These on the sides are the positive bus bars, and then there's one unified negative bus bar. In terms of where most of the power is going, it's direct to the hashboards.
Okay. And then you just said this board is reading the voltage that's coming off of here,
yes.
correct?
Yes. So there's a small line, this line here, is tapped all the way back to here, where it's being read, then it's going into this 12 to 5 volts converter, turning it into 5 volts and sending that to power the Raspberry Pi itself.
Okay, what does the Raspberry Pi do?
So this is doing the main control for the control board. So this is reading all the data that the Arduino is capturing, and then it's also communicating with the control board to turn on and off the mining itself.
Okay, is that only on and off, or is there ramping?
It does ramp. So based on the voltage that we're reading, we progressively ramp up until we hit max load. What we can achieve with two hashboards.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just keep going as long as the voltage holds steady. As soon as the voltage starts to drop a little bit, we slowly turn down until we get to the point where we just need to turn off.
Okay, and to better understand, and you might have said this already, but I'm gonna ask it again.
Yeah.
The Arduino reads what data? It reads the voltage?
So voltage and current. The other thing I forgot to mention that this is doing that is extremely important is it is pretending to be a real power supply for the control board. So,
okay.
MicroBT, the Epic included, is very unhappy if you try to run these machines without an official power supply.
Okay.
Though to be fair, I don't know of anybody else who runs one of these without a power supply, because all the shenanigans you have to go through to begin to achieve that is fun. But so this imitates a real power supply.
Okay.
So the Epic thinks that it's attached to a real power supply the entire time.
All right. So you have, again, voltage coming in.
Yes.
Current is being consumed by the hashboards.
Yes.
Voltage goes up and down depending on how much is available from the power source, which
yes.
in your example is a battery, most
solar.
Likely. Solar.
Yeah, battery is a battery, solar battery. Yeah.
Okay. Now, hashboards are turning on above a certain level.
Yes.
Hashboards turn off below a certain level.
Yes.
The Arduino is reading voltage and current.
Yes.
Turning on hashboards and turning them off.
The Pi is turning. The Pi is telling the control board when to turn on, when to turn off, and how much power, like what frequency to run the hashboards.
All right. And the sensors run here. They go into the Arduino hashboard, into the Arduino
through this header. And then shenanigans on the bottom. Yep.
Data goes through this cable.
Yep.
Into the Pi.
Yep.
The Pi says hashboard go.
Yep.
The hashboard says go consume power hashboard.
Yep.
All right, cool. Amazing. And then all the heat, no heat issues, all the heat comes out.
Yeah. No, because it's only two hashboards.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any hotter than a standard Watts miner.
So where so the idea is, and we will have this explained by colleagues of yours from sort of the operations and the idea side, where do you think technically is the weak point right now?
I mean, personally, it's the assembly. Technically, what it's capable of is very solid.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reproducibility of especially this section of components.
But it comes with a clear instruction. So as no doubt we will have explained, this is supposed to be an open sourced miner.
Yes,
DC
exactly.
miner that runs on solar.
Yes.
And therefore you want everybody to be able, you don't want to have to send people to site, so you want to make sure people and solar installers can install this themselves and build it themselves.
It's the installation once built, very simple.
Okay.
But it's the building specifically this bundle that interprets and controls stuff, it does require technical know-how.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, this is all 3D printed over here, right? You got the chassis. Anything can be used as a chassis, obviously.
I mean, to be honest, you can use... I mean, all of this is, up to you.
Okay.
We just chose a battery box because it looks cool next to other solar batteries.
All the parts are available online?
The Epic is probably going to be the hardest thing to source, just because you have to source that from Epic. But all of this, the rest of this can just AliExpress.
All right. And then, I mean, we're working at Gamma to make sure that people have access to cheap hashboards.
Yeah.
To give those a new lease at life. That's amazing. Thank you so much. All right, one more important thing that I forgot.
Yeah.
Internet. We need internet. We want to turn electricity into monetary freedom. So we need internet for that. How does that part work?
It's because it's coming into a Raspberry Pi, it doesn't care what internet you actually give it.
Yeah.
But in order to make it more accessible, we've put a jack on the side that just routes internally to here. But then it just means that you can
unplug it easy. Yeah.
Unplug it easily.
Cool.
To keep it all self-contained as a modular unit.
And of course, internet has to be solved locally wherever this is installed.
Yes.
All right, man.
Yeah.